Start your day the Torah way, Northwest London. Tuesday, 2nd of Shvat, 24th of January. Rabbi Pesach Kron Shlita, anticipating Geula, the glorious future, and how to get there. This week's Torah way has been sponsored by Family Bread, Lichwa, the Sukha Masun of Yelvod, Comrade Goldschmidt, is coming with his Hashem, the 7th of Matal Abiyom, revered tomorrow, 25th of January. He wrote on Shivna Vice, the Mom, Yisrael, Hashem, Vishilo. And by family Dudi Rosenberg in fond memory of his father, Nishmas Rav Yitzchok Tzvi, Rav Menachem Moshe Meir, Bruno Brocha, Rav Hershel Rosenberg on his 28th Yahrzeit on Thursday.
It's such a great source for me to be able to be here once again. First and foremost, I thank Dudi Yitzchok. I thank the Rosh Shlita coming. I'm sure that he has many, many other things to do. I saw Rabbi Beal just yesterday. Somebody didn't even know that I know him. He told me he's the greatest Balkayer in London. It's unbelievable. And David Rose, who does all the Svarim on the Alshach. So it's just a pleasure to be with all of you, and I hope that we'll be able to be inspired together. I can't believe Dr. Harris is here after last night, but thank you very much for coming. I appreciate it. And Mazel Tov, of course.
Mazel Tov, Mazel Tov.
Rav Shimon Schwab has a fabulous sefer. Every person should get that sefer. It's called Rav Schwab on Prayer. And on every single chelik of the davening, especially the weekday davening, you will see something, you will learn something that is absolutely incredible. And in the Perek of Shimon Esra, in Esemach David, he says something so interesting. He says, Esemach David Avrecha Mehera Satzmiach. This is the tefillah for Mashiach, but Mashiach's name is not mentioned. And it doesn't even say the word Mashiach. Mashiach is called the Tzemach David, the plant or the seed of David. Why is Mashiach called a seedling? And he says something very interesting. He says Mashiach is called the sprout of David HaMelech. Why? Because when you plant a seed, the apple doesn't grow overnight, and the orange doesn't grow overnight. It's a long, slow process. And he says that's the same thing with Mashiach. It's a very long, slow process, but it's a steady one. And just like a seed, if you cultivate it and nurture it, eventually it's going to grow. That's the same thing with Mashiach. You have to cultivate it, and you have to nurture it, and eventually Mashiach will come. And then he says something that only Rav Schwab could think of. And to me, this is so touching. And he says like this. He says, we know that when you have a plant, you have to water it. That's part of the cultivation. That's the nurture. How are you watering the Tzemach David? And he writes like this. Just as one would water a plant to make it grow, so does the Tzemach David develop and grow as a result of the tears of those who mourn Tzion and Yerushalayim. And when I saw this, I was wondering, you know, when we daven Shemon Esra, many times we will cry. We cry by Rafaino. We know never so many people that are sick. And of course we cry for them. I mean, here in London, you know, obviously, you know, how could you not think of Rav Matisyahu Chaim Benetel, Shrav Rafur Shleima. And there's so many other people that we know. I'll tell you what I do, and everybody should do this. I keep a list. I have a list with me of men, women, and children that I know. I try to daven for those that I know because then it means something. So of course, you see, men, women, and children, you're crying. In Shema Keleinu, we daven for Shiduchim, for children, to get the job, for whatever, Shalom Bayis. So we're crying. And then, of course, Baruch Aleinu Bar Parnosa. But who thinks about crying about Mashiach? And maybe that's something that we have to be ma'ir ourselves. The tears that we cry for Tzion and Yerushalayim, that's the water which we are cultivating, the Tzemach David. And then he mentions also something that is incredible. He says, we don't even ask for Mashiach. We ask Ki L'Shu'oscha Kivinu Kol Hayom. We're asking for the Eibishter. He says it's wrong to think that we're waiting for Mashiach. We're waiting for Hashem to make that decision to bring Mashiach. There's one step before. Everybody says we're waiting for Mashiach. Ki L'Shu'oscha. What happened to Asar B'Tavis? Why did we fast Asar B'Tavis? Asar B'Tavis, the Eibishter made a decision. And it's written in Yecheskel. And David just said to Yecheskel, who was already in Bavel at that time of the first Beis HaMikdash. He was already out. And Hashem said, write it down on the 10th day of the 10th month. I'm going to allow the Nebuchadnezzar bubble to surround Yerushalayim. They were surrounded for 2.5 years. They had a famine. They were so weak, they had no food after 2.5 years. Of course they lost the war. The Yerushalayim has to undo that decision. That's before Mashiach comes. As a matter of fact, the Gemara tells us in Shabbos Lamed Aleph, Lamed Aleph, that at the end of time, at the end of 120 years, each one of us is going to be asked certain questions. One of the questions, of course, Nasosa v'Nasata b'Emunah, were you honest in business? Kavatitim la'Torah. And I just want to mention the Marsha, the next one, it's very important. Osakta b'Piriyah v'Rivya. So the Heilige Marsha says something so amazing. I remember when I was at the Marsha's Kever in Poland, I was crying like a baby. When I thought, because I always quote this, the Gemara says, Osakta b'Piriyah v'Rivya. Most people teach you, did you get married? Right? Were you Isaac in that mitzvah? Masha says, that's not the pshat. Other words said, kiyamta piriya v'rivya. That would have been the question. Osakta means, you know what he says? Did you, lahasi yosim v'yosayma, did you get involved in reading shaduchim to those people who don't have a network? So many Balei Tshuva today, Baruch Hashem, but they don't have a network like we have. Right? There's so many people that have families that can read shaduchim. But who's reading shaduchim for these people? For people who don't have a network. Did you get involved? Lahasi Yasim v'Yasayma. And then Tzipisa l'Yeshua. Did you ever think about Mashiach? When do you think about Mashiach? So my Rebbe, Rav David Cohen, told me something fascinating. I don't know what Nusach Shimon Esrei you daven here, but I daven Nusach Sfard. Now, in Nusach Ashkenaz, we say, Ki d'sho oscha kivino kol ayoyim. Those of you who daven Nusach Sfard know that we yet umetzapim l'Yeshua. Where does that come from? So that was not the original part of the text of Shimon Esra. But Rav David told me that what happened in the Sfarish Shuls, when they said, Ki l'shuoscha, kivino kol hayoyim, the little boys would run around the shul, Tzipisa l'Yeshua, Mitzapim l'Yeshua. They would tell people this Gemara, Mitzapim l'Yeshua, you have to hope for Mashiach when you say these words. So in the beginning, these two words of Mitzapim l'Yeshua were in the bottom of the Shimon Esra as instructional. And then eventually some printer put it at part of the Shimon Esra, and the Mitzapim l'Yeshua became part of the Shimon Esra. That's why if you like take a look at the art scroll, Sfard Siddur, Nusach Sfard, not like Sfard, you know, like from Morocco or Syria, it says it's in parentheses, because that was not part of the original Lashon. It was instructional, but now already in all the Sfardish Siddurim, Nusach Sfard, Chassidish Siddurim, they don't even put it in parentheses. It's in there, Mitzapim l'Yeshua. So, in my Siddur, I have those words underlined that I have right next to it, the word Mashiach. So you should remember, that's when you'll be able to answer the question. Were you ever Mitzapim l'Yeshua? Yeah, when I daven 3 times a day. And you think about Mashiach. And that's part of Tzipisa l'Yeshua. So if that's the case, if we're waiting for Mashiach, is there anything that we could do to kaviyachol, help Hashem, so to speak, to change his mind? And change that decision of Aser B'Tavis. And change the decision of the Churban. And to bring along the Mashiach, the coming of the Tzemach David. So I believe that there are 4 things that we can do. And here's the first one. In Sanhedrin Tzadik Dalet Amud Aleph, it tells us, B'kei Shakadosh Baruch Hu Lasa Is Chizkiyah Mashiach. The Eibishter wanted to make Chizkiyah Mashiach. But then, the Midas Adin came and complained and said, Dovid HaMelech, who gave you so many shirais v'zishbachais, he wrote the whole Sefer Tillim. He was always praising you, and you didn't make him a Mashiach. Chizkiyah had so many nisim. V'lo yom Mashira. And he didn't say Shira the way Dovid said. So if you didn't make Dovid Mashiach, how in the world are you going to make Chizkiyah Mashiach? So what do we see from this Gemara? That one of the criteria of bringing Mashiach is Hakaras HaTov. We have to realize how much good we have. That's what David HaMelech was saying, so many shiras v'shvachas, and even he was not Mashiach. That means that we have to begin saying thank you. And you know what once occurred to me? Think about this. Moedim, Mem Vav Dalet Yud Mem. You know how much that's Begamatria? 100. Why is Moedim Begamatria 100? Because you have to be Makir Toiv to the Eibishter for 100% of the things that you have. We're always thinking about what we don't have. Now we have a right to daven for what we don't have. Certainly that's the whole middle part of Shimon Esra. But we have to also think about Maidim. Anybody who has a house, anybody who has a spouse, anybody who has a family, anybody who's got a job. You ever thank Hashem for Rabbi Stern? Nobody thought about that, right? Mm-hmm. You ever thank Hashem for this wonderful community that you have here in London? We don't think about that. We take it for granted, as if it's coming to us. You have to stop and think of all the good that you have. A lady called me up 2 years ago, and she said, Rabbi Krohn, you know, I've got a lot of problems. You know, could you give me chizuk? And I'm thinking, like, what am I, instant coffee? You know, like, you know. Like, so I said, what's going on in your life? So she started telling me the problems. So I said to her, take out an index card. I want to give you some homework. And I said to her, tell me, your husband has a job? Yeah. You have children, grandchildren? Yeah. I said, write down all these things and keep it in your sitter. And before you say moedim, just read it. Stop for a moment and read all the good things that you have. And then you say moedim. And then you say thank you. That's why Chizkiah couldn't be Mashiach. He didn't say shiur with the Shmuchas enough. So how are we going to begin to say thank you? As a matter of fact, of course, we're here in England, so we always talk about Rav Segal. Do you know that Rav Segal used to learn, it's hard to believe this, he used to learn Mishnayos for the Shaar Tshuva. He used to learn Mishnayos to the Mesillas Yesharim. He used to learn Mishnayos for the Chofetz Chaim. He said they wrote such wonderful Svarim, and I gained from them. How do I show our Korosat to the Mesillas Yesharim? So he used to learn Mishnayos for them. And as an author, I can tell you that, not that he wrote me, although I saw him, but Rav Segal, if their Sefer came out and the author was alive, Rav Segal would either call him or write him a letter to say thank you. So this was a person who had Hakaras HaTov in his mind. So I want to tell you, I don't know if you're allowed to say such a thing, one of my favorite Gemaras. I can't get over this Gemara. The Gemara is in Psachim Kufi Yotes Amad Beis, and it tells us that at the end of time, the Eibishter is going to make a Suda. And he's going to invite all the tzaddikim. He's going to say, Avraham Avinu, you lead the benching. Avraham's going to say, not me. I had a son like Ishmael. I can't bench. So Hashem's going to say, okay, Yitzchok, you bench. He said, my father's not benching because he had Ishmael. I had Esav. No, I can't bench. So the Gemara says, okay, Yaakov, mitzvah shleima, all your children, they were tzaddikim. So Yaakov's going to say, no, I can't bench because I did something that violated the Torah. Now, when I did it, you were allowed to do it. You're allowed to marry two sisters that were alive before Kabbalah Sabtayra. But I married Rachel and Leah. They were alive at the same time. So in a sense, I violated the Torah. I can't bench in front of all these tzaddikim. Not Avraham, not Yitzchak, not Yaakov. Okay, Moshe, how about you? To me, this is the saddest of all. Moshe Rabbeinu said, I was never in Eretz Yisrael. I remember one night, many, many years ago, Shana Rabbah, I went to Eretz Yisrael. I was there for Sukkot. And I wanted to be a Shana Rabbah at the Kaisel in the morning. You know, there's 10, 15,000 people. I knew if I don't go the night before, I'll never be up at the Kaisel. I came the night before. And I came with my Mishnah Torah, my art school, Chumash. You're supposed to say Mishnah Torah. And I was sitting mamish up against the wall with my Chumash and my chair. And I started saying every word carefully of Mishnah Torah. I was going to be there all night. I came to Bas Chanan, the Eibishter. Moshe Rabbeinu is begging, Hashem, please, please let me come to Eretz Yisrael. And Hashem says, stop davening, I'm not letting you go. And I'm thinking, this is my 18th time in Eretz Yisrael. And Moshe Rabbeinu, the Rebbe of Klal Yisrael, wasn't there once. I started crying for Moshe Rabbeinu. I could not stop crying. You ever think about that? Most of us here have been there many times. Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't be in Eretz Yisrael. He says, I can't budge. Okay, Yeshua, you took him into Eretz Yisrael, you budge. He said, not me. Supposed to have a boy and a girl. I had only girls. It's not my fault. So I wasn't Makai in the midst of really. I can't bench. So who? David HaMelech picks up his hand. Kosh Yeshua. He says, Hashem, Hashem, Meko Hashem, I'll bench. I was thinking, what are you talking about? David HaMelech had three sons that were Rishayim. Adonio, Avshalom, Amnon. Two out of three wanted to kill him. He's going to bench? I'll tell you what the Teretz is, I believe. Because David HaMelech said, Tzara v'yoga nemtza uv'shem Hashem Mekro. When I had woe, when I had problems, I cried out to you. But you know what he also said? When I had the child, when I had the salvation, when I got the job, when I got the shidduch, and I got the house, and I got the raise, I cried and I davened when it was good, the way I davened when it was bad. Oh, somebody who could do that, you're the man. You're the one that could bench. And that's what the Gemara is teaching us. You have to be able to say thank you You have to have Hakaras HaTov the way you'd cry when things are difficult, just like when things are good. I'll tell you an amazing story. In Eretz Yisrael today, there's an amazing organization called Eizeh Metzion. They help thousands and thousands of people with medical advice and medicines, ailments, everything. They have the biggest bone marrow directory in the world. The head of it is a guy by the name, somebody that I know, his name is Hananya Chalak. He started it, his father-in-law got sick shortly after he got married, and he saw there wasn't enough care, and he started an organization, and it's today one of the biggest Eretz Yisrael organizations, especially for medicinal care. He told me this story. One time a guy from Europe called him up and said, Hananya, I heard about your organization. I want to come to you. I want to make a very big donation. He said, B'kavodgadol, I'll meet you in the office. They meet 5 o'clock in the afternoon. The guy gives him a big donation. They have a geshmaka conversation. And then Hananya says to him, let's go to the Kaisel. You know, you're in Europe. You don't get a chance to daven Meir by the Kaisel often. Let's go together. It's beautiful. Fine. They get a cab. They go into where the Kaisel is, and they go into the plaza. They come into the plaza, and they see by the wall, there's a guy davening his hands around. He's crying. They can't hear what he's saying. But he's crying like the world is going under. And they're standing behind him, about 20 feet behind him, and they're watching and they're listening. And Hananya is a very soft-hearted person. And he says, look at that guy, we're going to help him. So the European guy says, like, what do you mean? He says, look, I'm ready to help him in any which way that he needs medicinally. We have the biggest organization in Eretz Yisrael, whatever he needs. But I need you to tell me that when we go over to him, I'll tell him about medicine. But if he's crying because of finances, you'll take care of him. You'll help him. Guy says, okay. They wait till the guy finishes. They go over to him. And they say to him, Rabbi Yud, how's everything? He says, ah, Baruch Hashem, it's gewaldig. He says, no, come on, really, like, well, what's going on? And he says, you don't understand, everything's wonderful. So he says, we've been watching you daven for the last 10 minutes. You've been crying as if the world is going under. What in the world is going on with you? He says, you guys don't understand. He said, last night, he said, I have 8 children. Last night, I married off my youngest child. Tonight, I came to say thank you to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's thank you. He's crying with such intensity and saying thank you. Who davens like that? Who thinks like that? That's why David was able to bench. But I'll tell you something that we could start from today. And that's something also that Rav Schwab brings out. You have to see only he could write the way he writes. You know, we have a whole body, a colon, a spleen, a heart. And if you take a look in what Rav Schwab writes about Ashi Yotzar, you'll never ever say Ashi Yotzar again the same. Listen to what he writes. When we contemplate the miraculous workings of the various chalulim, the cavities in the body, such as the trachea, the esophagus, the entire digestive system, the respiratory system, the circulatory system, and then something unexpected happens and there's a blockage, it's a catastrophe. When do we ever thank Hashem for everything that's going on in the body? I don't see anybody here on a respirator or a ventilator. We all know illness, right? We all know what we went through, what Klal Yisrael and the world went through in the last 3 years because of COVID. When do we ever thank Hashem for the orchestration of the body? In my humble opinion, from now on, from today on, when we say Ashi Yotzar, stand in one place. Don't be diapering the baby, don't be texting, don't be getting dressed, don't be getting into your car. What does it take, 9 seconds? Stand in one place and just think. Your mental capacities, your physical capacities. Hashem, thank you. Thank you. As a matter of fact, you know what it says in the Siddur HaGro? It's not to be believed. The Siddur HaGro, the Goyim says that no bracha, not by Shofar, not by Matzah, not by Megillah, nothing do we ever mention Kiseh HaKovet. The Kiseh Kvodecha, Golem Yidul Fnei Kiseh Kvodecha, that's the highest Mokam of Kvodisha. When you go to the bathroom, you mention it, it's almost embarrassing that we're talking about it. But the Goyim writes, and they write in his name, to show us that the Eivish says, Mashgiach al Dvorim Shfeilim Halolo. Even on the mundane things of the human body, the Eivish is watching us from the Kiseh Kvodecha. And I once mentioned this to a whole group of women in New York is a great organization called Neshay Cares. And a lady called me up and she said, you know, Rabbi Kron, you're right. Don't we say, Efshel Lamoid Lefanecha? I said, that's a nice brisket diyuk. Never thought about that. Right? Efshel Lamoid Lefanecha. So, Einachanami, from now on, we have to begin thinking about it. And I'll tell you one more place that we can have a Karas HaTayif. You know, when we bench, Rav Chatzkel Levishan, the Oryeh Cheskel writes that most people, when they bench, they do it, yeah, it's a mitzvah deraisa, b'chalto sevata v'rachta. They don't realize you're saying thank you. So take a look at the first bracha. I have this underlined in my siddur because I thought about this, and I think that it's so important. When we bench, we say, b'chein, b'chesed, uv'rachamim. What are these adjectives? What's the difference? Chein, chesed, rachamim. What does it mean? Chein is grace. Chesed is kindness. Rachamim is compassion. I'll tell you what it means. Chein, in my opinion, is the beauty of food. Hashem could have made it that we all eat white vitamin pills. And that's how we would have nutrition. What? Chocolate mousse is beautiful. At least to me it is. Right? Some people, kiwi. And some people, you know, sushi. Okay, I'm not a sushi person. You go into some of these restaurants, they have all colors of the rainbow. It's amazing. Certain foods are absolutely beautiful. Whether it's watermelon or steaks or whatever you like. That's the chain. David Shah did us a favor. Made food beautiful. How about chesed, the taste? I mean, the taste of food. I mean, some people love pizza. Some people love chocolate ice cream, right? With sprinkles, without sprinkles. But the point is, food tastes good. Again, David Shah could have made white vitamin pills. So chain is the beauty of the food. Chesed is the taste. It's gishmak. And then rachmim is the nutritional value. So the next time you wash and you bench, think, stop for a minute. Especially by the first period when we're talking about the food. Okay, then we talk about Eretz Yisrael and Yerushalayim and everything else. But the first part is thank you. And again, Rav Chatzkel writes, people daven, they bench because of frumkeit. And he's criticizing. That's not the reason to bench. It's not only because it's a mitzvah deraisa. It's hakaras hatayiv. So that's the first thing. Hakaras hatayiv. Here's the second thing. The second thing, the Gemara tells us, and we're all familiar with the Gemara on Yom Daf Tesam Beis, that Migdash Sheni, Shehen Oiskim B'Tora Mitzvah Zegmilas Chasodim, Nei Machorav, Nei Shohi Bar Sinas Chino. Because Yidden didn't get along with each other. And today, when we hear the news from all Kreisen, from, non-from, even among the from, it's terrible. I don't want to give any examples, but we all know the examples. Terrible examples. Even in the Fruma circles, people are not getting along. Criticizing, nasty, terrible, terrible things. We're all brothers and sisters. We've forgotten that. Big snood, big shaita, little shaita, white yarmulke, no yarmulke, hat, white hat, black hat, baseball cap, whatever. We're brothers, we're sisters. I'll tell you a great story. This is unbelievable. I'm going to tell this in Menorah grammar. It's just unbelievable, this story. I just wrote a new book. It's called The Grandeur of the Maggid. Everybody should have 10 copies. But I'm telling you, this is the first story in the book. It's one of the greatest stories you'll ever hear in your life. Listen to this. There's a family in Hanof. Very tight family. And every year they go on vacation. It's a father, a mother, and 7 children. They're not people of means. But they're very, very organized, and they make an itinerary, and they tell the kids, this and this are the places where we're going. Don't ask on the way, we should stop off in other places, we can't afford it. And no restaurants and no eateries. Mommy's making all the lunches and snacks, and especially in the summer, everything is very expensive. Fine, they have to rent a minivan, they don't have their own car. And they get said, they're going to go this year to Tveria, jeeping in Tveria, a boat ride on the Kinneret, and it'll be beautiful. The first day, they start traveling north, they come to Netanya. Netanya is beautiful, it's on the water. Everybody gets out of the car, they go by the water, a whole bunch of picnic tables, and all the kids are eating. They finish eating, the father says, okay, we gotta get in the car, we got a long trip to Tveria. Everybody gets in the car, except 7-year-old Zevi. Abba says, how come you're not going in the car? Abba says, it's a long trip up to Tveria. I gotta use the bathroom. He says, there's no bathrooms here, there's only picnic tables. Abba, you said it's a long trip. I'm not going to make it. So he's looking around. And then he sees in distance a restaurant. He sees it's a Yiddish restaurant. And he knows that they hate when you come in to use the facilities and you're not buying anything. What could he do? But he takes his little boy, the waitress is waiting at the door. She says, can I help you? He says, look, ma'am, I feel terrible. We're not buying anything. We have a long trip to Tveria. My son needs a bathroom. Could he just use it quickly and we'll get out? She looks around the whole restaurant. The coast is clear. She says, okay, hurry up. So the kid does what he has to do. He comes out. He's now in the middle of the restaurant. His father meets him. And they're just about ready to walk out the door. And then the Israeli waiter, Rafi, with a raging temper, sees them. And he says, who gave you permission to come in here? All you guys are the same. You don't buy anything, you use the field. Who gave you permission to come here? And he's watching. He sees this stewardess. She's standing on the side. She's terrorized. Because she knows that if he says she's the one who let him in, he'll fire her. And she's thinking already, where's she going to get another job? And in a second, on the spot, he wrote about this later, this father. He had once learned by Rav Avraham Gernachovsky, some people know who he was, a Heilige Mashgiach, and he was thinking, what would my Mashgiach do here? In a second, he says, excuse me, sir, you're yelling for no reason. He said, what do you mean? He said, we're all coming in to eat. He said, who's coming in? He said, you see this little boy? He's going to bring in my wife and all my kids. How many kids you got? We got 7 kids and 2 parents. Oh, I'm so sorry. Don't be sorry. Just set the tables. Fine. He comes in. The little boy comes to the car. He says, Abba says, we got to come into the restaurant. She says, I don't believe you. We never go to the restaurant. Abba said, we got to come in. Fine. They sit down. They never saw prices like this. They never saw food like this. Never saw a menu like this. And this Rafi can't believe. He sets 2 tables together. And they start eating. Everybody can have 1 dish and 1 drink. When they're just about finished, they notice that there's a lot of activity going on outside the kitchen. And they see that all the waiters, everybody's got cake in one hand and ice cream in the other hand, and sparklers on top of the cake. And they're walking towards the table. He says, excuse me, what are you doing? We didn't order dessert. And the owner of the restaurant comes out and says, young man, let me tell you something. See, when you guys sat down to eat, that waitress came into the kitchen. She was crying. We said to her, why are you crying? She said, I just saw somebody do something for us. Nobody in my life ever did that for me. They're all spending a fortune just to save my skin. He knew very well, that man, that if he says to Rafi the waiter that I let him in, he would fire me. So he brought in all his kids. He's spending a fortune just so I wouldn't get in trouble. I was already thinking, where am I going to get another job? So when we heard that, for special people, we got to do a special thing. Fine, they finish eating. And the father says, can I have a bill? So Rafi, the waiter, brings him a bill, and on it it says, if you ever come back here again, 50% off. So the father says, yeah, but what about today? I want to pay for today. Listen to this. So the owner of the restaurant comes over to him and he says, we have a policy in this restaurant. We only charge people. We don't charge malachim. We don't charge malachim. That's Abbas Chinam. This guy would never see this stewardess again, this waitress again, and she'll never see him. But it's a yid. It's a sister who could have gotten in trouble. She could have lost her job. He's spending a fortune just so that she wouldn't get in trouble. That's the second thing. You know, obviously, you know, turn away, of course, it's only a half hour. I know people are listening. I just want to end just with this thing, because it's from the Heilige Rav Chaim. The greatest thing that I ever heard about him. One of the greatest. And I'm going to show you something, you will not believe this. You know, I know his son-in-law, Rabbi Yitzchok Kaladetsky. He wrote Svarim on Sipur HaTzadikim, that's why I went to him many, many years ago. He told me about his father-in-law, every single day, Rabbi Chaim, after he davened, he went to visit his mother. Every single day. He would schmooze with her for a few minutes, sometimes she made him breakfast, sometimes they just schmoozed. And then, of course, when his mother died, he stopped coming. 2 weeks later, his father, the stipler, met him. And he said to me, Yiddish, Ich flege echad am dan over the flex kumen. I also used to enjoy when you came. Rav Chaim's mouth dropped open. You know, a mama likes to talk to her kids. A father, the God Labdor, wants to schmooze. Yeah, the schmooze in the Red Torah. For the next 12 years, he never missed a day coming in to see his father until he was nifter. Now I'm going to show you something. You'll never forget this. You won't believe this. Only Rabbi Beal probably could think of this. Nobody else, as you'll see in a second. Listen to this. We all know the famous story. This is the greatest thing I ever heard from Rav Chaim. We all know the story when Yitzchak was going to give the bracha to Esav, right? Yaakov came, got the bracha, he comes Esav. And he brought his father food. Watch what it says. Vayovei la'aviv. Right? He brought it to his father. Anybody notice something unusual about these words? There you go. He picked it up right away. It's a palindrome. You can read it frontwards. Who thinks like this? We've learned these words 1,000 times. Nobody thinks that it's a palindrome, that you could read it. And if you want to look it up, it's in Bereishis and Toldos. Chav Zayin Lamed Aleph. Chav Zayin Lamed Aleph. Vayovei la'aviv. Now listen to what Rav Chaim said. You know what this pasuk means, he said? The way you treat your parents, that's how your children are going to treat you. How do you like that? The way you treat your parents, that's how your children are going to treat you. So if anybody here has got nasty kids, let me tell you something. I'll tell you what to do. Look in the mirror. So, you want to know about Kibbutz Av V'Em? You want to know about Chesed? You want to know about saying thank you? That's what Rav Chaim teaches us. I just want to end with this quick story. There was a Chassidish Rebbe. His name was Rav Dov Ber Rajita. He was once in a motel overnight. And when he came in the morning to leave, he said to the innkeeper, he said, you know, that clock that chimed every hour at night, that's a holy clock. Where'd you get that clock? He said, what do you mean it's a holy clock? Chimes like every other clock. He said, no. I want you to do research. I'll tell you. You find out. I'll bet you this has a holy ancestry. He says, the clock? He says, find out. The guy starts making inquiries, and he remembers which family he brought it from, and he finds out where they got it from, and this was the clock of the Chayza of Lublin. When the Chayza passed away, he gave it to his children fell on hard times, and they sold it, and went from family to family, whatever. And this guy comes back, the Rebbe comes back, and said, did you find out? He said, you're right. It belonged to the Chayza. He said, how did you know? Listen to what he said. He said, every hotel that I ever stay in, or motel, when the clock chimes every hour, I feel worse. Because it's an hour closer to my death. And that's true. Every hour that passes is 1 hour closer to death. He said, but every time this clock chimed, I was so happy. Because I felt it's 1 hour closer to Mashiach. And I never had that hagosha by any other clock. That's why I knew this clock was special. And that's how we should live. We have to know, of course, every hour is closer to death. But more important, it's closer to Mashiach. Let's remember to say thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, tell you. Let's remember to have Avos Yisrael. And of course, there's not enough time to talk about it, but I just want to touch on it. Tzim b'mishpat tipode v'shoveha b'tzdaka. We got to be a little bit more careful in the maisa money that we give. Everybody here, and everybody that's listening, most of us will say, don't worry, I give plenty of tzdaka. No, I'm telling you, you should worry, because you don't give. Most of us don't have a cheshbon of the money that we make and the maisa that we should give. You have to keep a cheshbon to the penny. That means that if you made $100 but it cost you $20 to make that $100, you only have to give from $80. I'm not talking about other expenses. The expenses that it cost you to make that money, on that you don't have to give maisa. You have to keep exact cheshbon. And you know what the Gemara says in Tainis? U'b'chanunin abazois. This is the only thing that you can test Hashem. And I'm telling you, it works. Aser b'shvil shetis asher. Give miser to the penny and you'll become wealthy. And the Gemara says, u'b'chanunin, I'm telling you, the Torah says, the Gemara says, not allowed to test Hashem. Al tanasu. But here in Stucco, you can test. Make sure that you give that miser. That's really what it's all about. V'shaveha b'tzdaka. Keep a cheshbon. And if you keep a cheshbon, and I'll end just with this thing. In that wonderful, wonderful book that we started with, Rav Schwab on prayer, you know what he writes in the Hagdama? His son, Moshe, told me, he's the one who wrote it, about his father. You know, you could give miser in advance. For example, let's say you made $100, right, in profit. So you have to give 10, right? But let's say there's a great organization, right, and you want to give money. And you give 30. So tzedakah, in a sense, owes you $20 because you only have to give 10. So you can give miser in advance, and when you make the next $200, you don't have to give the 20 because you gave it already. And you keep a cheshbon. Rav Schwab used to keep a cheshbon, and he was way ahead every year. And I do the exact same thing. Except there's one difference between me and Rav Schwab. He did something I'm not on that madriga. You know what he did every year on his birthday? He said, Hashem, thank you. You gave me another year. It's a clean slate. Whatever Stuck owes me, we're starting all over again. I can't do that. you got to be big for that. But anyway, you can give Maaser in advance. That's what Rav Shlomo Shradron taught me. When he came and, you know, my father had passed away, and I was now Moyel, supporting my mother, my younger brothers and sisters, and he said, keep a cheshbon to the penny, and you could give in advance and keep that cheshbon, and that's what I do. Again, you got to be very great to do what Rav Schwab did. But v'shaveh b'tzedakah, the Yeshua should help all of us. We should be mitzapim l'Yeshua. Let's think about the Yeshua. Let's have hakaras hatov and everything that we have, all the good that we have. And again, let's have Avas Yisrael and v'shaveh b'tzedakah. And next year, Torah Way Duty will arrange it, I'm telling you, in the Binyanei Omah. There'll be a crowd like you never saw. Thank you for inviting me, and thank you for listening. Hey, hey.